what if veganism or a plant-based diet aren't all that they've been cracked up to be? I say this as someone who worked with some of the leaders in the fields in veganism and raw veganism, both in South Africa and in London, UK. And the long and short of it is that every single one of those people now prioritizes an animal-based diet. And I know that's a really, really challenging opinion to bring to you today, but I just invite you to listen on, even if you are currently plant-based, or if you have that guilty feeling of like, oh, I should be eating more plants, I should be vegan for the planet, et cetera, et cetera. It's the best way to save the animals. If any of that is true for you, or maybe you're already aware of what it means to live an animal-based lifestyle and what that means for the planet and for your health. Either way, today is a really powerful invitation and inspiration to any of us on this journey of optimal health. Those of us who are choosing to ignore the mainstream recommendations and actually discover what real health means inside of our bodies. I had the great gift of meeting Dr. Sarah Marilyn quite recently over New Year's. I was emceeing the Thrive Festival in South Africa, and I met Sarah there. She's trained as a dentist, but she's ventured far beyond those traditional medicine structures, and she now leads transformative health retreats and guides those who are seeking holistic healing. Dr. Sarah's own battles with chronic health issues led her eventually to veganism, but unfortunately that only intensified her struggles. And really, when you listen to her story, she did it the best you can. It was a really dramatic shift eventually to a meat-based diet that turned her life around. Through her own experiences, Dr. Sarah illuminates a path considered insane by the mainstream. She answers a lot of the common myths that people have around plant-based. Oh, well, it's better for the planet, or less animals are harmed when I have my almond milk or a salad or whatever those stories are. So listen to her journey, listen to her wisdom, make your own decisions at the end. In this episode, you'll learn why many people turn to veganism, obviously with good intentions, but unfortunately are not aware of some of the hidden costs and the impacts on health. Dr. Sarah will unravel those complexities that exist behind this plant-based vegan diet narrative. You'll also learn how Dr. Sarah transitioned from debilitating health conditions while on a vegan diet to revitalized state of health through incorporating meat into her diet. Her story is a powerful testament to the healing potential of a meat-based lifestyle. And she shares stories from people who she's worked with, people who come on her retreats, etc., and the transformations they've had. You'll also hear some of the misconceptions around the consumption of meat and its environmental impact. Dr. Sarah will provide insights into the ecological benefits of responsible meat consumption and debunk some of the common myths that surround it. So, if you're curious, questioning, or even skeptical of what you've heard so far, stick around. We're about to dive deep into a topic that encompasses more than food. It's about freedom, health, and embracing vibrant truth in our lives. I'm your host, Nathan Maingard, inviting you to join us on We Are Already Free, the podcast for those seeking a joyful, meaningful life by remembering our inherent freedom. Before we begin our journey, a quick message for you. If you are ready to transform your mornings from mundane to magical, join my 5-day morning practice challenge. It's designed to empower your start to the day, setting a tone of positivity and intention. A mindful morning routine is key to personal growth and living authentically. It's about more than just waking up. It's about rising with purpose and clarity. Visit the show notes or head to alreadyfree.me/yes to start your journey. Begin your days with practices that resonate with you, paving the way for a life lived with joy and realness. Your mornings are about to get a whole lot brighter. And now, please enjoy this eye-opening, truth-speaking, and mouth-wateringly delicious episode with Dr. Sarah Marilyn. Welcome to We Are Already Free, Sarah. It's so good to have you on as a guest.
Thank you, Nathan. It's so cool to be here with you, talking in this beautiful nature. I'm super happy about this conversation.
Yeah, me too. It's been an amazing experience meeting you. And I'll start with saying the thing that first struck me, I've said this to you already, but is when I saw you, you know, we're at this beautiful festival, I'm walking onto the beach, the sun is shining, and there you are standing on the beach, and immediately with all these other people, and immediately I saw you, I thought, that is a very healthy looking person. That is a healthy woman. And so obviously we've had a lot of conversations over the last week. And the thing I want to kind of start with is asking you about your health and how, because then when you started to share your stories, you haven't always been so healthy. So could you take us through kind of what got you on a sort of health path and the kind of some of the mistakes you made initially and what was happening for you there?
Right. So I'm going to make a brief resume about all the story because it can be really long. But anyway, I was born with an autoimmune disease called spondylitis ankylosantis, which is really familiar of arthritis, rheumatoidis, like it's a rheumatic disease. In my case, it's genetics and it's really inflammatory. So imagine I was playing when I was a kid. I remember I had so much pain in my back that I need to stop playing and do whatever I was doing, just to breathe and to control my pain. According to that, if you have like a autoimmune disease and it's not like controlled, you also, your immune system is not balanced. So I had a lot of rhinitis, allergies, sinusitis, like all of this was a mess it up. So I grew up with all of these symptoms, which was not fun. And at that time, I was already really curious. When I was a kid, like I was asking myself, like, why? Why so much pain? Why so much suffering? Is there meant to be, or we have like a solution? So, and also saw my grandmother having like dementia, Alzheimer, and she died like without knowing who are the people. And also my uncle, that he was schizophrenic. So, and he at least bought like, I don't know what to say in English.
Yeah, like back, like humped over.
Yeah, because of this disease that I had, like the spondylitis. All of these for me was like, what? What is life?
Yeah.
What is this, like, you know, life, death, cycling? So many questions pop up. I didn't have the answers with the normal doctors, which I took lots of antibiotics and painkillers. So when I was 20, 21, I met this group of friends that were vegetarian. I did Erasmus program. I went to study 1 year abroad in Spain, in Valencia. So I met like these cool people. They were like all vegetarian and vegan. And I didn't know anything about vegetarianism and anything. But I was really open-minded. I said, okay, if these guys pop in my life, it's some reason. So they show me some documentaries like Forks Over Knives, Food Matters, Earthlings. And they literally convinced me because the environment will be better. Also, my health somehow will be better. Well, I tried vegetarianism. I quit meat in 2012. Well, and my health was not better. Actually, I had more allergies. Like my nose was running, you know. So I heard about raw veganism. And then I give a try because I heard like many people got a lot of things sorted out, like the things that I had, you know, sinusitis, rhinitis. And that was the truth. Like the first month I tried, it was in Mexico and all my pain was gone. So I was like, okay, that was cool. But then 8 months after, I start experimenting the first symptoms that something was not cool. Like I lost my menstruation, and as a woman, that it's one of the signs of sickness. Also, lots of problems in my gut. Like I was not, like, you know, pooping right, and like lots of stomach issues, and I start to have like really not nice thoughts, like really negative thoughts. And I'm a really positive person, so I know myself. So I start eating like some fish and eggs, and also cheese, raw cheese.
Yeah.
But then, you know, it was already, I told this story, Nathan, I really wish I could keep going on this. Like I was going already in the right path because my menstruation came back after this, introducing these foods, but my brain was already washed. So I keep again, when the summer came, I went back to the vegan and vegetarian diet because I have all my, you know, new friends and new community. So well, the story is long, but I was 7 years vegetarian. In that 7 years, I did experiment raw veganism, you know, back and forward. And during all of this time, I developed hyperthyroidism, anemia. I lost my menstruation again, but this time for 4 years. I had like a lots of issues on my mental health, like really like severe depression. And what else? My hair was falling down. My nails really, really weak. I had many infections on my skin. My gut, like a disaster, like really disaster. And yeah, it was not easy. So I didn't also quit. I said, okay, that's life. No, I actually tried everything in that 7 years to get back to my health, but not eating meat. That was like the last thing I tried, and it really worked out. But so I've tried doing fasting, liver cleanse, liver flush, also parasite cleanse, candida cleanse, some plant medicines, some dry fasting, hydrocolon therapy, like cleansing the colon. I was not drinking alcohol, eating all organic plant-based food, sprouting my like the grains, you know, everything so clean, but I was getting so sick. And I said, come on, basically I'm doing everything like to be all right. And I was doing like yoga, meditation. I was like all my day was like focusing on being good, but still I was struggling, especially in my mental health and my gut, because it's all connected. So just when I was like in 2019, like 4 years ago, I saw a vegan friend that he started to eat a lot of meat, and he was pale, fragile, thin. And suddenly he became really muscular man, really tan and beautiful, like, wow. And he went to carnivore diet, like animal-based. And that changed my life. It's why I talk so much about my story, because somehow I hope that people could awake about this kind of cult.
Right.
So, yeah, it's... yeah, we had all the good intentions, you know, in going vegetarian. Like, it's for the planet, for the animals, and for our health. But it ends up, it's not good for anything. Mm. Actually, it's the opposite. And it's what we came here to talk about.
Yeah, yeah. Well, thank you. I mean, one of the things you shared, and I will share, obviously, the link to your Instagram in the show notes, because you're very open with sharing that. But what happened? You said you got down to a very low weight for your body. What was your weight before you made the change?
Well, Nathan, I'm 1 meter and 73. I'm pretty tall for a woman. And I reached the point I was 38 kilos. Yeah, that was, and I was not anorectic because I really wanted to eat. The thing is, like, I couldn't eat. Mm. My gut was not working. So actually fasting saved my life, because when I start fasting, I felt so much better. You know, I start to crying of happiness, of looking me in the mirror and say, wow, I've been so gone. Mm. So fasting really, you know, clears your mind. But of course, you cannot live on fasting. And every time I break the fast, I break with fruits and veggies, which I repeat the loop of being sick.
Yes.
So yes, that was like the worst part of my life. I was 27 years old. Mm. And yeah, it was not cool. You know, it was really like, really difficult place to be. I don't wish that anyone. So this is one of the reasons I keep talking about the importance and the impact that the meat has in your mental health.
Yeah. Well, so let's go into, so you saw this friend who'd been vegan, he started eating meat, he's looking amazing. So you made your decision.
Yeah.
What are some of the effects that you started to notice? Like, what happened?
Oh, it was right away. So I repeat, this is like the only thing I changed in 2019, the end of 2019. I was doing everything supposed to be like right, you know, the ice baths, sauna, sports, meditation, but I was struggling in my gut. So I start alone. Like, I didn't tell anyone that I was doing this. It was my alone experiment. But because, you know, after 7 years, it's like you build your identity around that. Yes. So it's easier to go back to meat than speak up your truth that you are eating meat. Mm. What people are gonna say, you know, the fear of rejection, the fear of solitude. So the benefits I saw after eating meat for the first time in 7 years was like literally the ghosts I had, like, you know, it was a cloud of ghosts that was surrounding my mind was already gone. They were gone. Without doing like lots of meditation or you know, like thinking about it. So it's like, wow, I'm back to me again. Wow. That was impressive. And of course, my gut starts to work again. Mm. I could go to the bathroom like a normal person, like a normal health person. And thanks to that, I start, like, my hair stopped falling. I felt I was gaining weight in the like really healthy way. Like my body was starting to change and I look beautiful. Like I saw myself in mirror and I had self-esteem because it's also really important. And what else? Like my nails also felt really strong after like just, you know, a few days.
Wow.
You don't even need to wait like you know, 1 month, like, oh, now what's happening? No, it's like it's, you saw the difference coming like hour by hour. And actually your sleep, you know, your humor, you were more happy, you know. Normally like it happens that you are happy, you don't make it to be happy, you know? It's like you don't force your happiness like I was struggling with. And yes, I feel also more confident. Also my memory improved a lot. I was struggling with memory, you know, like I was kind of forgetting everything, which is all connected, right? So this is like the main things, like, and also as a woman, like before having the menstruation, I was having a lot of strange humor, you know, really crampy, really sad, you know, emotional. I got really emotional. And nowadays, all the woman thinks that that's the normal thing. Yeah. Could be common, but that's not normal, okay? Don't normalize sickness. So yeah, it's possible to have your menstruation the days before. Okay, you feel like there's something coming up, but I never had that mood swings anymore.
Right.
So this is what really I figured out. Wow, I was really, you know, I was really far away from my best version.
Yeah, I hear you. Okay, well, one of the things I've noticed about you while we've been talking this last week is you trained as a dentist, so you are a doctor, you understand medical stuff, you understand how that all works. So like your knowledge, because now this is your passion, this is your life, you help people, you run retreats, you're doing amazing work, and you're so knowledgeable. So I want to talk about some of those myths that we all believed. You know, me too, I worked in the vegan industry for years. I thought this is going to save the world, like we're doing the best thing here. And there's all these myths that we picked up along the way of like, well, because of this, because of that, because of that. So I'll ask you about a few of them, and if there's any that I don't think of that you think are important, you can let me know. So the one that you were talking about recently, which I remember hearing that, but I had forgotten, but it's this idea that, you know, when you eat meat that it like rots in your stomach and this whole thing, and it's really gross. And we can start there. I know there's so many other myths, but
right.
Like, what about that one?
So this myth you can debunk really easily, like notice in your poop, like you never see meat there.
Right.
You can see like the shell of the corn, the skin of the tomato, some seeds, but you never see meat, which is like the number one proof that it's all absorbable. Everything is absorbed from meat. So also, yeah, it's like we are meant to digest food. Like our body is designed, like really perfect engineer, like, you know, God's engineer that to digest food. You know, it's why our pH of our stomach, it's 1.5, is as much acid as an hyena, the animal's hyena.
I don't know what's a hyena.
An animal that eats like their dead corpse.
Oh, the hyenas.
Abutre, I don't know how to say, like these birds that goes and...
Oh, the vultures.
The vultures. So, like, it's pretty much the same acidic. Why? Because as we evolve as a human species, like, and we get to the point to be Homo sapiens, we act before hunting, before we get to the point that we are hunting, that was a really slow evolution. We were eating like the rest of the animal, the corpses.
Right, like scavenging.
Yeah, scavenging. So we were meant to be like eating rotten meat. I'm not like advising that, but this is our stomach. It's made of, you know, it's why if you eat meat alone, it's going to be the really smooth digestion. You don't burp or you don't fart, which is a thing that happens a lot in vegetarian, because we're not meant to be eating a lot of cellulose, like plants, you know, fiber.
Okay.
Fiber, it's the skeleton of the plant. So cows have this system to eat a lot of fibers. It's why they eat all day. And if you notice, like a vegetarian is full of hunger, like they're hungry. I was eating all day, starving. So this is like, I think this meat, it's really... It exists because when you eat meat, you spend lots of hours without hungry. you're really fulfilled. You were satiated. Mm. So I think this is the meat starts that. Oh, so
I'm it's rotting in your stomach because you don't need to eat again. Interesting. So, okay, there's another one. I mean, one of the big ones is around the ecological, like we're saving the planet, you know, the cows are farting, we're destroying the earth, all the different things about how much worse meat is. And so, you know, my plate of salad isn't going to hurt anyone. It's harm-free, like happy lettuce that just grew out of the ground. So I should eat plants because I'm saving the planet. So what about that myth and what would you say to that?
Oh, yeah, definitely. We need to take care about the environment. And I do care now more than before, than I was vegetarian. Like, imagine when I eat a cow, it's one death animal. And when cow maybe has like 300 kilos, that I have like good food, good nourish food that I have for all my family during 1 year. And I'm not even talking about all the things that the cow provides besides meat, like clothes. There's like 40 industries, more than 40, that they benefit from the cow's products. But it's one death animal, okay? But when I eat like 1/2 kilo of rice, it's 25 animals die for that 1/2 kilo of grains. Could be rice, lentils, beans. Why is that? You know, in the monocrops and most of the food that goes to vegan supermarkets, you know, like all the labels, they are from monocrops. And in these big machines, it happens that they kill a lot of, you know, raccoon, birds, frogs. There are more bees dying for almond milk than honey. There are more birds dying in the olive oil camps because of all the pesticides. Mm. The pesticides kills many things, you know, also fish. There are more fish dying because of the pesticides than fishing. Wow. So we don't even know what are the impacts of all of these chemicals that they put in the crops to actually grow a bunch of, you know, things. And now that everybody's looking for these kind of superfoods, you know, almonds, cashew nuts, goji berries, and a bunch of stuff, like, so the more demand, like, the more industries around that they need to provide, like the olive oil, you know. So, yeah, I believe that vegan diet is the most cruel diet. Because if you count all the animals that die in the fields, and even organic, come on, like everybody that has organic little farm, they know how the snails behave when they see kale. They want to eat that kale. So you need to do something in the kale. You need to put some kind of pesticide, even if it's organic or not. So somehow you're going to kill the snail. I'm not even talking about other animals. So this is the first thing that nobody told me when I was vegetarian, and it's a fact. You can talk, you know, with the big farmers, you see that. And actually this gas, you know, they're talking like there's this myth that the cow's farts are a problem to the earth, but actually the biggest emissions of gas, it's from industries and transports, like airplanes, big cars. So, and nowadays all the food that you eat, they are imported from another country, especially these superfoods I'm talking about. So actually, if you have like a regenerative farm, the cows are sequestering the carbon, and not like it's the opposite. You are helping the planet, putting more cows that they are doing the holistic management grazing to help to, you know, make a diverse ambient. Yeah, it's more, it's everybody wins, you know, the cow, you, and the environment. Mm.
Yeah, there's actually a guy in Cape Town named Farmer Angus, which is funny because there's like an Angus cow, but his name is Farmer Angus, and he does regenerative style of farming with cows and also with pigs. And he says that because he's been measuring ever since he started in the soil, and like the amount of carbon that they've sequestered, and also the just the richness of the soil has like through the roof. And the guys at the local university, they don't even want to really hear about it. Like the soil experts, they don't even want to come and talk about it. Like he's like, look, I can show you how much better it is, but there's this story that is just so limiting, which is really sad. So yeah, I hear you on that, and it's I mean, I've heard another thing before, that there were actually more ruminants in North America that, before, like, the sort of Europeans came, than there are now. So, like, the buffalo, there were just so many, like, just millions and millions and millions of buffalo all over America. And, you know, the environment was fine at that time. Have you heard that before?
Yeah, I know. And I know also the story that they kill lots of animals on purpose.
Yeah, they did. Yeah. It's horrible to destroy the food supplies for the native people.
So, yeah, there is so much, you know, Nathan, actually, like, and it's impossible to cultivate in all the planet. There is just a little of percentage that you can, like, do farming. Mm. If you do more than that, it's not sustainable for the environment, for nobody. So, but actually, it's different with the cows, goats. Goats are amazing. They can go everywhere.
Yeah.
So, and also there is this myth that the soy that are created, the corn, it's all for cows.
Oh, yes, I heard that.
And it's totally a myth. Look, if you go to imbrapa.com, it's the website, officially website for the cows in Brazil. And Brazil is one of the biggest countries that export beef for all over the world. 95%, more than 95%, it's raised grass-fed. They are grass-fed. Mm. They're literally eating things that we couldn't eat.
Yeah.
Like, and then just 86%, there is this number from, I got it from Diana Rogers, the book Sacred Cow. It's a good recommendation. I believe all vegans should watch this documentary and read the book. So 86%, if a cow eats, like, grass.
Yeah.
Okay, more than grass. Just 86%, there are things that we couldn't eat. We're not able to eat, you know, like the rest of the fabric of the beer fabric, for instance, you know, the rest of the grains.
What's left, you mean?
The leftovers from these big fabrics of grains, like beer, whatever. This they recycle and to give to the end life of the cows. If it's like grain finished. It happens that there are cows that they are, like, finished with grass. That's even better for our nutrition. But anyway, you know, like, it's okay if you eat, like, just a cow with, like, the last 2 weeks of the life, they are eating grains, but that's all.
Actually, you've reminded me of a question, and one of the things people express as a concern is, like, but it's so expensive to eat so much meat, you know, it's so much more, I can't afford to eat that much meat, so I must buy rice, etc. So how do you suggest people afford it, or what do you think about the affordability of eating a primarily animal-based diet?
I advise to eat nose to tail. Nose to tail, it's the most ethical, sustainable, nutritious, economical, and diverse, creative way of eating. It means that we are eating the all parts of animal. Paradoxically, the parts that are more cheaper. It's the parts that they are more nourished, like the liver, the heart, the lungs, the brain. They are so cheap, sometimes even free. You know, the bones can be free in some places, some butchers. So this is a good start. If you are in the low budget, you start eating more things like organs. Then you go also to other parts, like near to the bones. So also this could be really cheap and really nourishing. Like, you have lots of glycine, lots of amino acids, like vitamins, minerals that you don't have so much in the muscle or beefs, which are expensive. So that's a good way of starting. Also, chicken could be cheaper, you know, birds. And think about, like, it's investment for your health, you know, like, I prefer to invest in my health today than spending in disease tomorrow. This is one of the sentence I repeat a lot, like, because people really see short term, they don't see the long term. So this is the real pharmacy. This is, meat is medicine. And also, if you eat this way, you don't have to eat so many times a day. And it happened that you eat less and you spend less. So, yeah. And also, you can mix with fruits. I'm not eating just a carnivore diet. I mix with nice carbs, potatoes, squash, mandioca, and also fruits. if organic and seasonal, better. So actually, you know, Nathan, for my clients and all the people that are going to my events, retreats, they tell me, Sarah, I'm spending less money. They make the count. And it's the opposite. People think that they are spend more. But if you look to a normal person, they're eating like six times a day because it's crap. It doesn't fulfill you. So you are all the time looking for food, but it's not like real food.
Right.
And it happened that you spend more in food and in medicine, like pills. And come on, like we need to go back and remember what is like the purpose of life. It's to live this life fulfilled, you know, in our fullest potential. So do whatever you need to do, like maybe look for a better job that you gain more money, like, you know, make the goal to work more, to get more money, or to have your own cow. Like, this is also a good starting point, you know. Buy all the animal, buy a pork, a pig, you know, all the chicken. Is going to be cheaper. It's going to be more conscious. You know where this animal coming from. And also you can get the fat out of it, like the tallow and the lard, and you make your own fat, which is really important. This is one of the super important topics, like how you cook your meat. So yeah, there is lots of ways. Like, I love solutions, like, because people focus a lot on the problems. Like, there are lots of excuses to stay in the same miserable life. But let's make it like you can do it. I believe in you guys.
Yeah, thank you. I'd love to hear now, you mentioned, you know, some of your clients and the people who come to your retreats. You've been doing all of that for a while now and really helping a lot of people. And what are some of the transformations that you've seen from, if you can share any of the stories of your clients and the people, like what are the stories that they share with you after, and especially those who kind of have been really like, no, I have to be vegan, I have to be vegetarian. And like, what are their experiences as they make that change?
Well, I have a lot of ex-vegans that come to me because I promote this kind of lifestyle all over Instagram, YouTube. The first thing that they notice is like the improve of energy, you know, clarity of mind, brain fog goes away, more memory, more creativity, and more happiness in general.
Wow.
So this is like the ultimate thing that you want in your life, right? Like living full potential. And then some disease, like autoimmune disease, like spondylitis, arthritis, sclerosis as well, diabetes a lot, and also obesity. People, they lose weight in the nice way and gain muscle. So it's not about losing weight, it's about gaining health. So also it's important like to consider movement and the other kind important things to do in your life, not only the diet. But anyway, also depression, insomnia, people struggling with mental health, as I told you. Pretty much what I've told, all the symptoms I told. Yeah, I've got clients that have like, and it's curious, Nathan, like these people tried many things before. It's not like they didn't try anything. Like, I have people that they've been in many kind of doctors, and they ended up taking pills. Also, I help them to down the pills and be clear, you know, free of addictions. We are already free when we are not addicted with anything, no food, no cigarettes, no alcohol. So it's really nice also to quit addictions. And also talking about like spending money, I have this client that she counts everything, like, you know, all the expenses that she has. And she literally told me like in 3 months, she's already saving money because her sons doesn't stay sick anymore, so they can go to school and they're not like stopping school. So she can work and get more money. No, because before, all the family was sick, like every 3 months with virus, you know, fevers, and the kids couldn't go to school. She need to stay at home. So
that's amazing.
It's like something you don't even realize what's the impact in your life, you know, like, and their productivity when you change just the way, like when you change your diet.
Okay, so let's move into, so we've covered a few, I know there's many more myths we could cover here, but I want to kind of bring people to some more of the solutions. So you've already spoken to on the financial side, people can start with maybe organ meats or things like that. Are there any other ways that you would say someone's listening now and they're going, okay, shit, I need to either get more information or I need to start to make some changes, like, obviously they can come to you and I will share your links and things in the show notes, but are there any ways that you recommend for those people who right at the beginning of this journey, who just starting to maybe change their mind or wanting to explore more, what would you recommend they do?
The first rule is don't fear the meat. Stop like thinking the meat is a blame, because nowadays the meat is a scapegoat.
The scapegoat.
Thank you. Like, you know, the environment, oh, the meat is like the cow, it's the, let's blame the cow for everything. No, it's really the opposite. So start for that, like, you know, for making this awareness and consciousness, like, okay, from being something really bad to something really cool. Listen, there is no meta-analysis, randomized control trial saying that meat is bad for you. Actually, there are studies saying that you can heal even cancer, you know, Crohn's disease, really, really bad disease with a meat-based diet. So this is the first step. And then experiment, you know, like if you like more goat or lamb, yeah, go for it. You don't have to be eating beef all the time. That gets really expensive when you eat proper, you know, beef, chunks of meat. Like you just explore and like... try different kinds of meat. Also pork, it's really cheap. And if you get a really nice source of pork, pig, it's amazing. Actually, you have a lot of vitamin B1, really good for the brain and for the gut, stomach. So, and then mix with nice carbs like potatoes, baked potatoes, squash, pumpkin, and you can have fruit as a dessert. Also having raw cheese, raw milk, and raw yogurt, kefir. Yeah, try to search for raw sources and nice sources. And also honey is really cool, not a lot, but you know, a little bit on your yogurt or even in your meat. Try it. Also fish, of course, nice fish. And eggs are amazing. I eat like 4 or 5 eggs a day easily. And make sure that your meat is cooked in lard, tallow or butter. That's the tricky part. Sometimes when we eat in the restaurant, it happens that meat was cooked in seed oil, and seed oil are the real virus in our kitchens. So why? Easily, they are really unstable, so they oxidize easily, and they have also more omega-6, and we need like more omega-3. Nowadays people are eating too much omega-6 and little omega-3, so we need to rise up. So where is omega-3? Not only fish, okay, yeah, also in fish, but good butter, good lard and tallow. So that's the tip number one, like watch out how you're cooking your meat. And it happens at in restaurants, and also other kinds of things, you know, all the vegetables that you maybe eating, they are full on seed oils. That's where starts the problem.
Well, that's actually a really important one to mention. I know it's not directly related to meat, but the whole seed oils thing is really massive right now. Like the stuff that I'm learning about it, and I mean, you've spoken to it already. Would you suggest that someone completely cuts seed oils out of their life? And if so, you know, why? Like, what's the, in just as a kind of summary, but like, what's the problem with seed oils?
Okay, seed oils really damage your mitochondria, which is like the power energy cell of your body. You need really, really need to make sure that your mitochondria is really like working good. It would create energy. Like, so sometimes we think, the sugar is the bad guy. Yeah, also, but seed oil, the problem with seed oil is like you don't recognize its flavor. You can see if it's a cake, it's cooked with sugar or not. You can see that, but you cannot like recognize if it's with butter or margarine. So why? Because margarine doesn't have a taste. They take out it smells and tastes so bad at the end of that all big process and complex stuff. It's really like they use lots of machines and it's really bad for the environment. And in the end it tastes so bad that they need to make another process, like it's called deodorization, like taking out the flavor, otherwise nobody could eat that. You will vomit. So yeah, and margarine, it's everywhere. Like you go to any kind of bakery, pastry, that cake will be cooked with margarine, you know, everything. Like that's the real ghost in our lives. So that's the main topic, because it really makes you inflamed, like oxidized. It creates like oxidative stress and damage your cells. So we do age really quickly when, like, you know, the skin notice also when people burn in the sun. So sunburns are not because of the sun. Come on, we've been under the sun for ages, like 2 million of years of sun, and now it's the thing about like what's inside our fat, our body. So the sun is a match, and the box to set the match is a seed oil. So right. If people are burned, it's because they are still intoxicated with seed oil. So do for like 1 month detox, easily 1 month. Of course, it's nice to eat it at your home, because in restaurants, at least you ask for something like grilled, and make sure, like, say that you are allergic to seed oil.
Yeah,
I can have like a really serious like reaction if I. Okay, so they take you seriously, because almost nobody knows about this little. So what is seed oil? It's corn oil, sunflower, cotton. Pretty much like all the, imagine like they're making oil out of a corn. A corn is not even fat thing. Mm. Like they're making oil out of soy. So it's a carb. Mm. So
are there any good oils then that are recommended? Because you mentioned olive oil earlier. And
olive
so
like oil is not seed oil. Mm. It's a fruit.
Yeah.
So if it's good quality, listen guys, like 80% of olive oil are adulterated.
They're so they put other things into it.
Yeah, because everybody's asking that. The Mediterranean diet, it got really popular, but not all the globe is Mediterranean.
Yeah.
We need to eat like seasonally and locally. Like we are omnivores, opportunists. We eat from what we have of our land of 30 kilometers, more or less. So olive oil, if you buy it, make sure that it's in a really dark bottle and with a glass. Otherwise, it's already oxidized. You bought it already like full of toxins and you're paying for nothing. So it's really bad. Actually invest in butter. I love the taste of the butter.
Oh man, I love butter.
You can cook, you know, all kind of butter. Of course, like make sure like it's a good butter. Mm. But any butter will be better than no butter.
right. Fair enough. Yeah, so this is one of the things that I have struggled with in the past and still sometimes do a bit, like where if I just go to my local supermarket and I buy meat, you know, my concern is that the meat is coming from the kind of mono culture where there's like cows that have been pushed through a horrible industrial slaughterhouse and they've had a lot of stress and pain in their lives. But like, so I guess for myself, I also then realized, but that's similar to what's happening with the vegetables as well. They've been grown in empty soil. Everything else has been killed and poisoned. Like I've seen a monocrop blueberries, like people often think, I buy nice blueberries from my local Woolworths. I have actually seen blueberry monocrops. It's horrific. They literally poison everything on, they kill the entire earth, and they put these little pots on top of it with blueberry bushes inside, and they cover the whole thing with nets, and any other animal that tries to come in there gets absolutely slaughtered. So for, in some ways, it's, I guess I'm answering the question myself, but in some ways it's like, if the choice is health, like if I can be healthy and then get enough health to be more abundant in my life, make more money, and then afford better quality meat, that's the best way. But I would love to hear your thoughts on that.
Look, I repeat this sentence, like better done than perfect.
Better done than perfect.
Yeah. You know, guys, don't wait to be for perfect. Mm. Oh, I'm not doing it because I cannot buy grass-fed. So at the end of the day, we need to eat something. If we're not eating like some kind of meat, whatever is it, we're gonna eat like rice or vegetables that all processed of created of production. Many animals died, and it's really poor in nutrients. Like we in the end of the day, we need to think what are the most density food on earth, like where you get more nutrients by centimeter, you know, by centimeter.
Right.
It's meat. It's red meat, not even white. It's red meat. So love, make sure that you treat the most important person in the world. It's you. If you're not cool, you cannot be like, you cannot be cool for others. Like first it's us, then it's the family, which is like the same because you are eating together, and then it's your work, not the reverse. Mm. So first health, family, and work. So yeah, that's it. We've been brainwashing like the meat, actually all the meat. It's like with these crazy slaughterhouses, but it's not the case. You know, it's a minority. Look this example I gave. Brazil, it's one of the biggest countries that they export meat, and 95% it's grass fed. Like perfect. I'm sure here in South Africa.
Oh, it's the same. It's the almost same. All free range, like most of it.
And then it's really expensive for the producer to do it grain fed. Mm. The cows don't like it. The producer, the farmer, also not, because it's really expensive. Because come on, you have grass in the field, so just put the cow, you know, raising. So that's the belief, you know, like just do it, you know. Okay, you don't have money to buy grass fed. Okay, do conventional meat. Make sure, like, just remember, like, for happening life should happening death. You know, it's the cycle of life. So if you don't have like dead animals in your dish, your plate, maybe they are dead in other place. So it's not because you don't see them. They're not dead, you know. Yeah, like that's the thing about what I believe, you know. Because otherwise we struggle so much. We want to make it perfect, and then what? Like life is happening already. So make sure that you eat what you can.
Yeah. Thank you. And is there anything else that you feel it's really important for someone to know who's listening to this and kind of going, oh shit, okay, like veganism maybe not the best, vegetarianism, like having their mind kind of shifted here? Is there anything else you think it's really important that we haven't covered?
Yeah, I just want to cover this important question that many people said, oh, but I feel so good after quitting meat. I really feel good. My body says it, like, but there is this bias, like healthy bias, that when people quit something like meat, they also quit another stuff like sugar, possibly seed oils. They start doing yoga, meditation, they quit coffee or tobacco, or whatever, like, you know, addictions. So it's normally like connected. Okay, and every time you see someone like thriving on meat, they're not eating, we are not eating like the standard, like American standard diet, sad diet. We are eating meat conscious, with nice carbs, with nice fats, and that's the big difference. Okay, because a normal typical meat eater is eating everything, like is eating meat with beer, with ketchup, mayonnaise, white bread, is sitting on the couch every day. So that's the missing point people are not thinking. So there is no study, I repeat, no controlled study, randomized, like which are the proper studies saying that meat is bad, because all of these studies is observational, and they collect people eat meat but with whatever, and people are not eating meat but, you know, with a good lifestyle. So I think this is the main point. Don't compare yourself, and do your experiment. By the end of the day, it's your body, it's your mind. Just give it a try for 1 week, 2 weeks, I'll say 3 weeks, at least 21 days to see some changes. And make your research, not only listen to us, like make your research. I already talked about this documentary, Sacred Cow, from Diana Rogers. I really recommend. Also, Fat Fiction, Magic Pill are free in YouTube. That's a good start. And yeah, just allow yourself to feel free.
Yeah, I mean, there's something you mentioned there around, you know, studies and all, and I don't want to go too deeply into it, but I know it's one that came up for me as well when I was starting to make these shifts. Like, what about, and we definitely don't have to try and debunk them all, but just like giving people some information around that is things like the China study, things like the Blue Zones, and I know, and the Game Changers documentary on Netflix, all these things where they're like, look, it proves that veganism is the way forward, or at least very least vegetarian. So just a quick piece about that for anyone who is kind of thinking about that.
Yeah, first of all, we need to see who is funding this study,
like who's paying for it, basically. Where's the money?
Doing a study, it's not cheap at all. You need to collect a lot of money, so there are a lot of interests behind that. It's how all of this story actually started in the 70s, why, like, there was this demonization of cholesterol and saturated fats and glorification of grains and beans. So, yeah, China studying, Now there was a one like with twins, that one twin is vegan, another one no. But in actually the study says that the vegan like actually was, it was getting the worst markers of health, like inflammatory. But they make it sound, they literally lie.
Wow. But so who's funding that one, for example?
So this one is funding by Beyond Meat.
Beyond Meat.
Beyond Meat.
Right. So
the owner process, yeah, of Beyond Meat is funding this really recent document. Now is a documentary in Netflix, another propaganda. So yeah, guys, it's really, there is agenda behind all of this. Okay, this is the truth, and it's political. Nobody cares about your health in the end of the day. Everybody cares about their pockets and how to be like, how can they get richer? Because the sicker you are, the more pills you need to get and more supplements. It's really important also that you know that 20 nutrients are missing in the vegan diet. 20. It's not only B12 or protein. It's like creatine, taurine, B3, B1, and the excess amount of anti-nutrients which block the entrance and absorption of nutrients. So it's like, why we need to take 20 nutrients in pills if we can get it like from the best stores and delicious? Like, come on, like, think about a really good steak or bacon and eggs fried. Like, it's instinctive. Like, our body are thriving on that. So this is like the main topic I want to tell, like, and this is like really, it's a fact, okay? You're missing 20 nutrients. It's a lot.
That's like, it's a huge amount. I know, I remember when I first got into it, it's like, oh no, it's just like B12, but people who eat meat are also, they don't have B12. And anyway, all those bloody stories. So I wanted to ask you something now, and I've kind of forgotten what it was. What was it about? Oh, I guess like one of the things, so your page is currently mainly in Portuguese, which is great for any Portuguese people who are listening to this. But what are, and I will, again, I'll share the links to you, but what are some of the other people you would recommend? I've had Brian from Food Lies on already, and I definitely recommend people following him. He's amazing.
Yeah.
But, and he's got a documentary that's going to be coming out, but it's really hard for him to get it out because he can't get funding for it. Imagine. That's what's crazy, is because the big money doesn't want to fund it. So who would you recommend people? I know you said Diana Rogers already, Sacred Cow, is there? Like anything else out there that's really worth checking out?
Paul Saladino,
yeah,
Carnivore MD, is one of the greatest. Also, he talks on other things that's really important, like clothes, movement. Yeah, but a lot of about meat. Who else? Well, let's see. Mike, Metabolic Mike.
Yes, Metabolic Mike. He's great.
Yeah, in English, right? Well, Sean Baker.
he's funny.
He's fun. And he's also keeping up this work about like letting the truth coming up. Also, No Reason to Be Vegan. It's a really nice page in Instagram. Inspire me a lot. They show a lot of difference, all the studies about why veganism is a scam. Also, Carnivore is Vegan is another page in Instagram.
Carnivore is Vegan.
They also have a blog, Carnivore Aurelius.
Cool.
I for sure there are more, but no,
that's a good start, yeah, for sure. Okay, and so the question I ask every guest, and you've spoken to it a few times already in our conversation, but when you hear the words "we are already free," what does that bring up for you?
That's a good question. It's like just going back to basics, you know, going back to nature. I feel really free. I feel that sentence really when I'm here, you know, in nature, that is a place that I don't feel judged or something. Or also hacking my body, my biology, with proper nutrition. Yeah, this is food, movement. When I run, when I swim, when I do like nice movements with my body, I feel my body free. So every time I'm doing like the proper habits and actions that we should do it as a human beings, and we are kind of forget it about that. This comes to my mind, you know, all the pillars. Also community, getting involved with people are like-minded, and you can have a nice chat conversation.
Yeah,
pretty much like everything that makes you grow and be free.
Beautiful. Well, thank you so much, Sarah. It's so much fun to be meeting you and getting to know you. And I'm sure we're going to be creating some beautiful things together. The final thing is just around where people can find you. What's the best places for them to go to?
So, Doutora, it's in Portuguese, Doutora Sara Marilyn, D-R-D-R-A-S-A-R-A, MareyLyn. And Sara Marilyn. That's in Instagram, Facebook, YouTube. I'm living in Angola, which is a beautiful country in Africa, but I'm Portuguese. Yes, I create content in Portuguese, but anyway, you can translate. If you are, you know, any doubt that you have about this conversation, like, please contact me. I'm really happy to help, you know, to respond to your questions and doubts. I know maybe should be a lot or not. Yeah.
Beautiful. Well, thank you so much. I mean, I'm just laughing now because I won't say the name of the festival, but we were just at a festival together and there were, I think there's maybe four vegetarians and vegans or people who were maybe just eating a little bit of meat who, after talking to you, are now eating like a lot more meat after a conversation with you. So like she says, if you're having doubts and you're not sure and you have questions, you're like, but what about this? Just send her a message. The link will be in the show notes and you can, yeah, she's super knowledgeable, as you've heard.
Thank you. Thank you, Nathan, for having me here.
Such a pleasure, Sara. Yeah. Thank you so much for your work. And I hope to see you again soon.
Yeah. Yoo-hoo.
Yoo-hoo. I hope you, dear listener, have enjoyed this as much as I did and have received all the value that you needed. And I'm very curious to hear what your thoughts are on all of it. You can find Dr. Sara Marilyn on Instagram, and a link to that will be in the show notes. It seems clear to me that nourishing ourselves goes beyond just what we eat or listening to what we're told from out there. It's about how do we start to listen to that internal voice and come into connection with the wisdom that is already inside of us. And so that's why I've created a 5-day morning practice challenge, and it's a perfect next step to take if you're wanting to connect more into your own intuition and your own structuring of how you want your life to be. So often when people wake up, it's snooze button multiple times, immediately on social media, even checking work emails. And that's no way to start the day. And how that flows into the rest of the day has a really big impact. So how can we know what our intuition is asking for, whether it's on a dietary level or any other, when we're immediately distracted on awakening? So this 5-day challenge is really simple. It'll teach you some effective practices to kickstart your day with positivity, with purpose. Whether you've been battling with low energy or you're just seeking that deeper connection of intuition, this challenge could be your gateway into that change. For example, one of the past attendees for this challenge is Adrian, and he joined the challenge feeling lost, feeling frustrated, struggling with self-judgment. But through the simple, tailored practices, Adrian found a way to switch to a mindset of self-love and acceptance. As he says, "This challenge helped me to love myself. I am more motivated and enjoy witnessing every day." Imagine starting each day with that kind of transformation. If you're ready to take that step, to embrace a morning routine that aligns with your authentic self, then please join us at alreadyfree.me/yes, or just check the link in the show notes. If this episode has resonated with you, I would really love to hear your thoughts. Please take a moment to leave a review or share your takeaways with me on social media, linked in the show notes. Your feedback is not only appreciated, it is a vital part of our shared journey to understanding. Until next time, thank you for tuning in, and I can't wait to share more inspiring stories and insights with you in the next episode. And as always, if you don't already, please remember that we are already free.